So began a battle that none had expected, and it was called the Battle of Five Armies, and it was very terrible. Upon one side were the goblins and the wild wolves, and upon the other were elves and men and dwarves. This is how it fell out. Ever since the fall of the great goblin of the Misty Mountains, the hatred of their race for the dwarves had been rekindled to fury. Messengers had passed to and fro between all their cities, colonies and strongholds, for they resolved now to win the dominion of the north. Tidings they had gathered in secret ways, and on all the mountains there was a forging and an arming. Then they marched and gathered by hill and vale, going ever by tunnel or underdark, until around and beneath the great mountain Gundabad of the north, where was their capital, a vast host was assembled, ready to sweep down in time of sudden storm unawares upon the south. They had learned of the death of Smaug, and joy was in their hearts, and they hastened night after night through the mountains, and came thus at last, on a sudden, from the north, hard on the heels of Dane. Not even the ravens knew of their coming, until they came out into the broken lands which divided the lonely mountain from the hills of behind. How much Gandalf knew cannot be said, but it is plain that he had not expected this sudden assault. This is the plan that he made in council with the Elven King and with Bard and with Dane. For the Dwarf Lord now joined them. The goblins were the foes of all, and at their coming all other quarrels were forgotten. Their only hope was to lure the goblins into the valley between the arms of the mountain, and themselves to man the great spurs that struck south and east. Yet this would be perilous if the goblins were in sufficient numbers to overrun the mountain itself, and so attack also from behind and above. But there was no time to make any other plan, or to summon any other help. Soon the thunder passed, rolling away to the southeast, but the bat cloud came, flying lower, over the shoulder of the mountain, and whirled above them, shutting out light and filling them with dread. "To the mountain!" called Bard. "To the mountain! Let us take our places where there is yet time." On the southern spur, in its lower slopes and in the rocks at its feet, the elves were set. On the eastern spur were men and dwarfs. But Bard and some of the nimblest of men and elves climbed to the height of the eastern shoulder to gain a view to the north. Soon they could see the lands before the mountain's feet, black with a hurrying multitude. Ere long the vanguard swirled round the spur's end and came rushing into Dale. These were the swiftest wolf riders, and already their cries and howls rent the air afar. A few brave men were strung before them to make a faint resistance, and many there fell before the rest drew back and fled to either side. As Gandalf had hoped, the goblin army had gathered behind the resisted vanguard and poured now in rage into the valley, driving wildly up between the arms of the mountain and seeking for the foe. Their banners were countless, black and red, and they came like a tide in fury and disorder. It was a terrible battle, the most dreadful of all Bilbo's experiences, and the one which, at the time, he hated most, which is to say it was the one he was most proud of and most fond of recalling long afterwards, although he was quite unimportant in it. Actually, I must say, he put on his ring early in the business and vanished from sight, if not from all danger. A magic ring of that sort is not a complete protection in a goblin charge, nor does it stop flying arrows and wild spears, but it does help in getting out of the way, and it prevents your head from being specially chosen for a sweeping stroke by a goblin swordsman. The elves were first to charge. Their hatred for the goblins is cold and bitter. Their spears and swords shone in the gloom with a gleam of chill flame, so deadly was the wrath of their hands that held them. Soon as the host of their enemies was dense in the valley, they sent against it a shower of arrows. Each flickered as it fled, as if stinging with fire. Behind the arrows, 1,000 of their spearmen leapt down and charged. The yells were deafening. The rocks were stained black with goblin blood. Just as the goblins were recovering from the onslaught and the elf charge was halted, there rose from across the valley a deep, thwarted roar with cries of Moria and Dane! Dane! The dwarves of the Iron Hills plunged in, wielding their mattocks upon the other side, and beside them came the men of the lake with long swords. Panic came upon the goblins, and even as they turned to meet this new attack, the elves charged again with renewed numbers. Already many of the goblins were flying back down the river to escape from the trap, and many of their own wolves were turning upon them and rendering the dead and the wounded. Victory seemed at hand when a cry rang out from the heights above. Goblins had scaled the mountain from the other side, and already many were on the slopes above the gate, and others were streaming down recklessly, heedless of those that fell screaming from cliff and precipice to attack the spurs from above. Each of these could be reached by paths that ran down the main mass of the mountain into the centre, and the defenders, too, had few to bar their way for long. Victory now vanished from hope. They had only stemmed the first onslaught of the Black Tide. Day drew on. The goblins gathered again in the valley. There a host of wargs came ravaging. With them came the bodyguard of Bolg, goblins of huge size with scimitars of steel. Soon actual darkness was coming into a stormy sky, while still the great bats swirled about the heads and ears of elves and men, or fastened vampire-like on the stricken. Now Bard was fighting to defend the eastern spur, and yet giving slowly back, and the elf lords were at bay, about their king upon the southern arm, near to the watchpost of Raven Hill. Suddenly there was a great shout, and from the gate came a trumpet call. They'd forgotten Thorin. Part of the wall, moved by levers, fell outward with a crash into a pool. Out leapt the king under the mountain, and his companions followed him. Hood and cloak were gone. They were in shining armour, and red light leapt from their eyes. In the gloom, the great dwarf gleamed like gold in a dying fire. Rocks were hurled down from on high by the goblins above, but they held on, leapt down to the fall's foot, and rushed forward to battle. Wolf and rider fell or fled before them. Thorin wielded his axe with mighty strokes, and nothing seemed to harm him. To me, elves and men, to me, O kinsfolk, he cried, and his voice shook like a horn in the valley. Down, heedless of order, rushed all the dwarves of Dwayne to his help. Down, too, came many of the lakemen, for Bard could not restrain them, and out upon the other side came many of the spearmen of the elves. Once again the goblins were stricken in the valley. They were piled in heaps till Dale was dark and hideous with their corpses. The wargs were scattered, and Thorin drove right against the bodyguards of Bolg, but he could not pierce their ranks. Already behind him, among the goblin dead, lay many men and many dwarves, and many a fair elf that should have lived yet long ages merrily in the wood. And as the valley widened, his onslaught grew ever slower. His numbers were too few. His flanks were unguarded. Soon the attackers were attacked, and they were forced into a great ring, facing every way, hemmed all about with goblins and wolves returning to the assault. The bodyguard of Bulg came howling against him and drove in upon their ranks like waves upon cliffs of sand. Their friends could not help them, for the assault from the mountain was renewed with redoubled force, and upon either side men and elves were being slowly beaten down. On all this, Bilbo looked with misery. He'd taken his stand on Raven Hill among the elves' party, because there was more chance of escape from that point, and partly, with his Dukish part in mind, because if he was going to be in a last desperate stand, he preferred on the whole to defend the Elven King. Gandalf too, I may say, was there, sitting on the ground, as if in deep thought. Preparing, I suppose, some last blast of magic before the end. That did not seem far off. It will not be long now, thought Bilbo, before the goblins win the gate, and we're all slaughtered or driven down and captured. Really, it is enough to make one weep. After all one has gone through, I would rather old Smaug had been left with all this wretched treasure than that these vile creatures should get it, and poor old Bomber, and Balin, and Vili, and Keely, and all the rest come to a bad end, and Bard too, and the Lakemen, and the Merry Elves. Misery me. I've heard songs of many battles, and I've always understood that defeat may be glorious. It seems very uncomfortable, not to say distressing. I wish I was well out of it. The clouds were torn by the wind, and a red sunset slashed the west. Seeing the sudden gleam in the gloom, Bilbo looked round. He gave a great cry. He'd seen a sight that made his heart leap. Dark shapes, small, yet majestic against the distant glow. The eagles! The eagles! He shouted. The eagles are coming! Bilbo's eyes were seldom wrong. The eagles were coming down the wind, line after line, in such a host as much as gathered from all the eyries of the north. The eagles! The eagles! Bilbo cried, dancing and waving his arms. If the elves could not see him, they could hear him. Soon they too took up the cry, and it echoed across the valley. Many wondering eyes looked up, though as yet nothing could be seen except from the southern shoulders of the mountain. Oh, the eagles! Cried Bilbo once more. But at that moment, a stone hurtling from above smote heavily on his helm, and he fell with a crash, and he knew no more.